Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of Stigmas and Open Wounds. I'm Tracy.
And I'm Eric.
All right. So before we get started, I have to tell a story that I completely forgot to tell last time that I just think is too humorous not to tell. So I think it was last week, or maybe the week before, it really doesn't even matter. Both Eric and I had physicals, or our wellness checkups, if you want to call it that, on the same exact day, ironically. And it was quite humorous because I had mine 2 hours before Eric had his. And as I was in with my doctor, and we have the same doctor, he goes to me, "Wow, I had forgotten how long you take because of all of your medication." And he goes through with me and he checks in and goes, "Okay, so do you need a refill on this? And okay, this doctor refills this," because I have, I believe it's like three doctors at this point, maybe four, because I have a cardiologist, I have a psychiatrist, I have him. And he goes through everything. And I mean, when I go in with him, I'm very well prepared. I make sure that I know which ones need refills, etc. So I would really hate to see who's not well prepared for him. But he goes to me and he's very, very nice. But he's like, "Wow, I had forgotten how long you take." But then Eric goes about 2 hours later and then he goes, "Wow, the time that I lost on your wife, I made up on you." And I thought, I don't know how to take it. I mean, it's humorous, and I laughed at it. But also, I'm glad that I have a sense of humor, because I could be really upset about that. So, I thought, you know, you guys could use a little chuckle with that one, because I'm sure a couple of you out there have had that type of experience before, where you've thought, "Oh man, I'm just sitting in the doctor's office, just wasting all this time with them." And
I guess I hadn't thought about it from that perspective, but from a professionalist standpoint, that wasn't a very appropriate thing to say.
No,
was it?
No, it really wasn't. But I mean, if you really think about it, honestly, our doctor, I do love him, but he's a very awkward kind of guy and he says what comes to his mind.
Yeah.
And I don't mind it. I really don't. But some people would probably take it really wrong. But I really don't mind it. He's a very sweet guy. So I like him. And honestly, at this point, I think I've gotten to the point where I really like the doctors that I have. My cardiologist, I had switched to a new one and I saw her last week as well, and I'm thrilled to death with her at this point too. So yeah, I think it's great, but yeah, I think it's like some people I think would have taken that wrong, but to me it's laughable. So I thought, oh, that's something I have to tell on our podcast, because it's, to me, it's laughable at this point. But I'm like, wow, had I been having a bad day, that could have really sent me spiraling. So, but today, our theme, it's triggers. Now, I this is one of those things that I think you hear it a lot. You hear, know your triggers, know what triggers you. But I think a lot of people probably don't necessarily know what that means. Do you know what that means, Eric? What are triggers? What does that mean necessarily?
I mean, I guess I would explain it as, you know, if you have, and it can be really anything, but there's certain things right. that happen that trigger an event.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
realize
exactly.
Knowing, I feel like in the contents text of what we're talking about today, the idea of knowing that if A happens, B is going to happen.
Exactly.
And by acknowledging,
that is exactly it.
In realizing that that's going to happen helps you prepare for it, know what's coming, and, you know, whether it be like depression, anxiety attack, whatever it may be, could just be something as simple as, I don't even know. I can't even give you a good example, but there's 100 different things.
As simple as allergies. Right now, we're getting a lot of allergy attacks at this point because of the season right now. Today, we're in May, I believe, when we're recording this, and you and I are having some issues with allergies. So if we go outside, we're having some allergies.
Right. So, and by understanding the things that trigger those things, you can better react to them. You can sometimes, if you get good enough at it, I would feel you can just cut them off, where you already know this is coming, so you're doing something to prepare for it or to prevent it from coming.
Right. Right. And one of the definitions that I found was cause to exist. Just a very simple thing. And in this episode, we're going to talk about more or less some negative triggers or things that cause negative things to happen. Because
what was your definition? Cause to exist?
Yeah. Or like what it is it causes something to exist.
Okay.
When I say cause to exist, the trigger causes something to exist.
Yeah.
So that's essentially what it means. And we're going to focus on causing something negative to exist in today's episode. So sure, it can cause something positive to exist. And I'm not saying that we're not going to talk about happy things in this episode either. We can focus on happy things as well. Like instead of something negative happening, we can say, hey, let's steer to something happy instead. But we're going to kind of focus on three major things because I don't want to make it too broad today, but I'm going to focus a little bit on depression, bipolar, and migraines today, just for kind of examples, just so that we can kind of give examples of getting an idea of knowing what your triggers are and how you can get a handle on your triggers. And that way you can say, okay, so in my life, what are things that I might need to get a handle on in terms of triggers? So sure, I might not have depression, but I have anxiety. And of course, with bipolar, you're going to kind of get an idea of what might give you anxiety. I have anxiety. So I know that large groups give me anxiety. So that's one of my triggers. So sometimes I avoid large groups altogether. Other times I say, hey, let's bring a friend because that helps my trigger, because I can't always avoid large groups, and it's not always a good thing to avoid large groups or avoid your triggers altogether anyway, because when you avoid that trigger,
it only gets worse.
Right. Because the problem is that when you avoid it, you're not always building up a system. You're not always building up a barrier or a tolerance.
Right. Exactly. That's a good tolerance is a good way to put it. And I think the other thing that's really important to mention about triggers is that, yeah, we might be talking about them from the perspective of if you have anxiety or something like that, but this is not something that is only beneficial to a person suffering from a certain mental condition by any means. This is something that anybody can apply in their life. If there's something that you think you struggle at, then whatever that thing is, it has triggers that it puts you into that state of struggle. And if you can figure out those triggers, you can figure out how to either avoid those triggers or to overcome those triggers and make yourself be able to overcome that whatever condition it might be.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily have to be something that we quote unquote as call an abnormal condition.
Right. Right.
Everybody has triggers.
And the thing is that when it comes to triggers, unfortunately, that is something that is yours to, I don't want to say deal with, but that is yours to identify, and that is yours to kind of, that is your responsibility. Because unfortunately, I can't say, Eric, what is my trigger? You need to deal with this. You need to figure it out here. Because unfortunately, he can maybe kind of help me. You always can ask somebody for help, especially, you know, when I go to a big group, I can say, Eric, I need your help, hold my hand, et cetera, et cetera. Or I can say, hey, do you see something that may be triggering me or something like that? But you need to figure out and say, okay, for example, going back to the anxiety, what is getting me jittery all of a sudden? What is doing this to me? When am I starting to get this way, this way, this way? But you can't all of a sudden go to somebody and say, hey, what are my triggers? What is doing this to me? Because unfortunately, you can't go to somebody and say, what is making me feel this way and fix it? Because unfortunately, when it comes to fixing, you have to take the first step and you have to be able to identify what is going on inside of you. Always when it comes to going on inside of you, that starts with you.
And just remember that fixing these things, because they're kind of ingrained in you,
it takes time.
It's not going to be easy. I mean,
yeah, it's never going to be easy. It's never going
to
be easy.
If you're not committed to fixing that trigger or overcoming that trigger, you'll never do it, because it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be the default that your body is going to at least initially tell you to do. Most by default, our bodies, for whatever reason, when we have something that causes a negative effect, we try to ignore it.
Right.
We don't try to overcome it. And that's a big challenge, because if you just overcame it, a lot of people could probably get over a lot of the things that they struggle with on a day-to-day basis. But because it's so hard to transition from that phase of just ignoring it or pushing it to the side to actually facing it and trying to overcome it, that's a huge, huge challenge.
It's just been something that we've dealt with for how long? So it's normal. It is what it is. So some of the triggers, like I said, I'll be kind of talking about. So if I want to start with depression triggers, we can say some of them are grief that make it worse. Obviously, rejection, stress makes it worse, illness. Lack of sleep, that I can easily see that. Think about when you see a little kid and they're rubbing their eyes and you're like, well, go take a nap. And they're like, I don't want to go take a nap. And then they're crying. I mean, oh my gosh. And then as an adult, you're thinking, why don't you want to take a nap? I want to take a nap all the time. rumination. And that's just a word that we've talked about before in another episode, and that's just grief that's gotten out of hand and overthinking. So money problems, and I mean, those can come on at any point. So when money problems come on, and then that just gets you depressed, and you're like, oh my gosh, of course I'm depressed. Mm-hmm. So then you can have life transitions, and whether they're good or bad, but obviously bad life transitions get hard. But then good life transitions, they can make you depressed, because even if they're good life transitions, you think, I've been working towards this. Well, now my goal is accomplished. Mm-hmm. Well, now I'm empty. So that's a really weird one for people to deal with. And now they're like, well, now what's my next goal? And that's a really, really strange one for people to deal with. But now they've got to set a new goal. So now they're depressed again. But then it's a really weird transition. I don't know if that makes sense, but I've heard that one happen. And I've actually kind of had bits and pieces of that happen before, but that's an interesting one. And then substance use. And that's a really hard one. That, I mean, substance use can mess with anyone with anything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and those are some common depression triggers that happen. So
it's weird that substance abuse is on that list, because I kind of feel like that's not a trigger.
If you think about
That's part of the process of ignoring it rather than trying to overcome it. You just start drinking to make it go away.
If you think about when you're out drinking with people and then they're like, okay, you have the happy drunk, you have the mad drunk, and then you have the sad drunk.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
So So now if you know that you are one of the people who is always just, you know, maybe flatline, just a normal person. I don't want to say normal person, but you're going about your day and you're happy or just stagnant, whatever. You're a fine person. And then all of a sudden you drink a certain kind of drink or a beer, whatever, doesn't even have to be a certain kind. And then all of a sudden, you know, within 2-3 drinks, you are crying. Stay away from drinking or stay away from a certain kind. Because I know some people, they drink a certain kind of drink and they are in tears or they get angry or they get whatever. Then stay away. Because I know certain people, they drink a certain kind of drink and they are ready to fight.
Right. But, and I guess I would look at that and I think that that's probably because there's some underlying issue with you.
Right.
And it's just the alcohol is bringing out that whether Definitely. You're an extremely depressed person, you're an extremely angry person, whatever the thing is, right. The alcohol is just bringing
well,
it out.
Well, and then you might need to look at and say, I have some other stuff to deal with too.
Yeah.
However, I mean, that might be an incredibly deeper thing to deal with. But then you need to look at, okay, so this is a trigger. I need to stay away from, for one thing, this alcohol, this certain kind of alcohol. And then let's also deal with this other thing,
too. Yeah, you have to figure out where that's coming anger from. Or that depression is coming yeah. from, and you should probably address
but
that
to
issue,
start with,
too.
let's stay away from that alcohol.
Yeah.
So there's a couple things. You know, obviously, if you lose your job, well, you can't stay away from losing your job. It's just going to happen. I mean, unless you know that things are going down with that job, then you might want to start looking for another job before that starts to happen. You know, there's certain things that you can kind of predict, but there's certain things that you can't predict.
And
if
because
that makes sense.
That makes 100% sense. And because you can't predict them, you not only have to be able to, if there is a trigger, you can avoid it. But sometimes you're not going to be able to avoid that trigger, and sometimes right. you have to have a plan for what to do when
exactly.
you get hit with a trigger, but like that, like whether it be if you get into a situation and anger overcomes you, you have to have a plan of. I mean, sure, you can go pummel somebody, but it would probably be a much better choice to have an internal thing that you do to get over that anger without actually taking
right.
action on it. And the same with depression. I mean, you can go and wallow in a hole and be depressed for six months, or you can have a plan
right.
of how do I get over my depression?
Right.
You know.
Right. Like, are you a person who constantly gets depressed, or was this a one-time thing? You know, I lost my job and I got depressed because I lost my job. And that does happen. Or are you somebody who I constantly get depressed and I lost my job and now I'm even more depressed.
Mm-hmm.
So, or did you see your job getting closer and closer to getting lost and I did nothing to prepare for it? So there's different things that you can do to kind of prepare for those different triggers. So there's different things, obviously. Grief and loss, you know, is there somebody who's been sick for months but you didn't prepare for that loss until they were gone.
Mm-hmm.
Different things like that. Or stress. There's, you know, it's finals week and I did no studying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think in the coming up in the next one that there's something that says good stress. There's, believe it or not, there is something about as such as good stress that we'll talk about, which actually I'll come up. And so if we talk about with bipolar, so from Healthline, we talk about bipolar triggers. We have negative life events. Again, I mean, I think negative life events are going to trigger you in a plethora of
And some of those events you can possibly prevent, but there are just simply going to be things that happen that you just...
I think the thing is if you have an underlying condition, if you have anxiety, if you have bipolar, depression, etc., you should already be having things that are in your back pocket to prepare. You know, how do you deal with anxiety, depression, etc.? And we've talked about these in past episodes. If you haven't listened to those, maybe you should, so that you can, so that you kind of have some ideas. If you have a psychiatrist, psychologist, and you have, you know, talk to them. Make sure that you have a couple ideas. Do you know, have a couple ways that you can kind of maybe meditate, go through, and prepare for that. So, and then the next one is the good stress. So maybe when come final time, that's stress, but it is also kind of good stress because that's propelling you to your future. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether or not you think that school, college, whatever, whether or not you think that college is a good thing or a bad thing, it's kind of a split thing right now, whether people think that college is a good thing or not. So, but that's kind of an idea of good stress, yeah. I would say.
And
there's a couple different things about for good stress.
I think like a great example of good stress is that if you ever talk to somebody who does public speaking for a living,
yes.
And you think that, I mean, I think most of us think that by doing public speaking professionally, those people just are completely comfortable with going up on stage.
Whenever I public speak, I get nervous, but I do like it.
Okay, but even people that do this professionally, do it every day of their life, there are many of them that tell you that they'll get nauseous before they go up on stage because they're so nervous and stuff like that.
I'm trying to think. I heard somebody recently who... And it was somebody, it might have been a singer even, who they get sick like every time I think it was on Simon Sinek's podcast. And he's like, yeah, they get sick every time before they perform. And he's like, and they say that's excitement. But I would venture to say that that's actually anxiety. And it was really interesting because he was saying on there about how he's like, that's... What's the difference between anxiety and
and
that, which was a really interesting episode of his.
And that's like a great example of, so it is probably anxiety that person is feeling. That's what like 98% of us would call anxiety.
Right.
But one person, because they love performing so much, has turned that into excitement, know?
And before I used to swim in high school, I would propel that into good stress, I would say, because I would say, okay, I'm about ready to go. And I would get the biggest butterflies in my stomach, but then that would just propel me to go. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go. And I would get so nervous, but then I would go and I'm like, okay, good. And by the time I was done, I'm like, yeah, I did it. Cool.
You know, and that brings up a beautiful point of that. So you think of yourself, the terror that you feel, like if I had to go competitively swim, I think I would be mortified. but there are people that do it professionally and they get over that fear. And probably their fear...
I mean, maybe. We don't know. There's probably some that still don't.
No, right, you're right. I'm not saying that they get over it like it doesn't bother them at all. But they're able to do it because of it. And I think like when you look at somebody that has one of these abnormal mental conditions, it's a lot like that, the same thing, because you have something that we all have, but it's way more intense, way worse.
Right.
But if Michael Phelps can put everything aside, all the nerves that he probably has before he goes out and competitively swims, there's no reason why somebody that has anxiety can't do the same thing and turn it into a positive thing.
Well, and it is actually exciting or interesting that you say that, because I do have a book, and I feel so bad because I still haven't, because I get so, I had a point where I didn't read, and then now I'm finally reading again. There is a book. Yes. I believe it's by Amanda Beard. And she actually had a really bad anxiety, depression, whatever. And she would cut herself. Mm-hmm. And she was a swimmer. So it is interesting because it's not like there aren't people out there who, mm-hmm. and she was a swimmer and everything, you know. So it's not like that there aren't people that did that. And so that's one of my, when I take a break between my fiction books, that's one of my books that I have to read. So it's not like there aren't people. It's just that some sort of come out a little bit and, you know, it's just they come out and silently. Well, I guess it's not silently. She came out with a book. It's just that some come give press conferences and some don't, I guess, about it. And it's interesting.
And I think, like, if you look at it from that perspective, that, you know, think of how terrifying giving a public speech is.
Right.
And by that is as terrifying as probably your worst anxiety attack.
Yeah.
For a normal person to do. Yet there are many, many people that, and maybe you're not a good example because you, like you said before, you kind of like public speaking. But
yeah,
think of the most normal thing you deal with, but the idea of ever doing it just terrifies you. There are probably things out there in the world that are scarier to you than even an anxiety attack.
Right.
But yet there is a person out there that finds a way to channel and overcome that to be able to do that thing.
Right.
And be very successful at it.
Yeah.
So the idea of that you have something that cannot be overcome is probably not accurate. You just have to put enough effort and you really have to sit down and think about what you need to do to overcome that thing.
Right. And well, because it's sort of like the reason that I like public speaking is that in all honesty, it's sort of like I shouldn't like public speaking. But early on, I started to like it because I knew that I was good at it. I knew that when all the people were up front with their knees knocking and everything, And they're like, they're holding up their cards and they're like, and I'd be like, I know all my information is good and all that stuff in class. I knew everything was good and I knew all the information and I knew everybody in class did not know the information. So I knew that I was good at it. So there was no reason why I couldn't do it. So from early on, I was good at it, or fairly good. And so that's why I like it, I guess. So I think that's sort of what it is that from early on, I put enough into it where I was good at it. And so to your point, you can put enough into it where you're right. You can be good at it, where you can overcome.
You can overcome it.
An introverted, nervous, anxious person should not be good at it. And I can be nervous before I go up there. The only time that I do get nervous is there was a point where both you and I did where we talked about our businesses in front of people. And when I have to talk about myself, my business, that's when I get nervous. When people are like kind of judging me, myself. That's when I get nervous.
That's interesting.
So
I guess that never really bothered me.
Yeah, it did. Because you got nervous when you talked.
No, public speaking. I think I'm kind of at a point.
You're getting better because when you teach, you're a very good teacher.
Yeah, but like, and that's like the, that's what has gotten me to the thought of that. I don't know that there is anything that a person can't overcome without putting their mind to it because I've looked at it and I'm like, when the idea of public speaking to me probably 5 years ago, I was absolutely mortified of it.
I mean, you don't have your off days either.
No, don't you think everybody does?
Yeah.
Especially when you're
I guess boss comes in sometimes all of a sudden you're like, I, yeah. And you're like, oh great. She came, but, But yeah.
But I mean, but it, seeing the things like, and this is kind of going off topic, but this
we've
is
been
something,
going off topic.
Something that I've thought about a lot is that I do think people can overcome anything they want to if they put their mind to it.
Right.
And I've always thought of myself growing up, my whole life, I've thought of myself as being completely tone deaf. So somebody in our household bought a guitar like 2 years ago and hasn't touched it once. And
I
it
know,
just sits
it's
in
because,
the
cold. It's because I've been trying to learn Spanish. And I'm like, if I really concentrate on Spanish, if I try to learn the guitar, then I'm not gonna. I'm trying to really concentrate on one thing at a time, and I'm horrible.
And I realized, like, so in 2003, I listened to my first podcast ever, right? And ever since then, I've wanted to make a podcast, but
wow,
I decided
20 years?
Yeah.
Holy
but
sh-
And most people didn't even realize podcasts even existed back then. I mean, arguably, a lot of people don't even know they exist today, right. but well, certainly back then, nobody thought they existed. But, and then I made a podcast and I was like, well, this wasn't that hard. So now I look at that guitar and I'm like, I wonder if just like, if I just sat down, learned how to play a song, and then try to figure out how to sing, if I could record a song.
Well, you and I are going to try to learn the guitar together.
Okay.
I'm serious. So,
but, and I think, and how this is not completely off on a tangent is that I think
stress.
It's, well, it's not just that. It's just that whatever those triggers are, I don't know that there's a trigger out there that a person
can't overcome.
You're never going to be like, you're not, understand that you, there are things that you're just never, it's like public speaking.
You're going to
go up there, it's going to be uncomfortable, but there's absolutely no reason you can't do it.
I feel like my entire life has been uncomfortable, honestly. It really has been. In many ways, it has been uncomfortable. Being neurodivergent, there have been a lot of things in my life that's been uncomfortable. So I think there's a lot of things that you can do that are going to be uncomfortable.
Well, and I think that you have to also realize that you don't have to just be neurodivergent to have things
that are
extremely uncomfortable.
Well, right.
Everybody has things in their life.
Well,
that
and that's what I'm saying. So, like, I can do things that will make me uncomfortable. I'm no stranger to uncomfortable. So it's not like if somebody says it's going to be uncomfortable, I can be like, well, that's fine. I'm used to it.
Right. And bringing all that around to our conversation, getting over any of those things that makes you uncomfortable, the first phase to it is acknowledging and realizing what your trigger is. And then thinking, what? Because our default, everybody's brain, unless you're like, now, I'm not going to say that there's not some weird person out there that's just really wired differently than everybody else.
Right.
But for the most part, most people's default to, I get in an uncomfortable situation.
And it's run.
What do you do? Yeah.
You either
run or
you try to make it or make it comfortable for yourself.
The default is never to make it more comfortable. People will do that if they have to. But
right.
But your gut instinct is always to remove yourself from that situation.
Right.
But if you commit to that, I want to be able to be in these situations and be comfortable. Yeah, maybe you'll never be fully comfortable, but you're certainly going to get a lot better at it.
Right.
You know? And I think that's the whole thing of understanding a trigger is once you know what that trigger is, you can then figure out, okay, how do I, you know, put myself in a situation where if I can evaluate and say, do I even want to be in this situation?
Right.
If you don't want to be in this situation, remove yourself from it.
And I think that's the biggest thing is this an important enough situation for me to deal with the triggers?
Right.
And, you know, and so going back to some of the bipolar triggers, we were just on the good stress. We have some disrupted sleep. Obviously, good sleep is important for really anything. And then we also have climate and weather changes. I'm a huge, huge one for that one with anything that really gets my bipolar or my migraines. And then we have substance use again. And then we have hormones, and that's for male and female. And then we have co-occurring medical conditions. So if you have, you know, if you have depression, migraines, just anything, I mean, it affects it. And then nutrient deficiencies. So yeah, I mean, if you have anything that goes along with your with anything, it's gonna clash. So and then I'm just gonna hop right in, and just to kind of to get on with this, we're gonna go into some common migraine triggers. Now this one is a really, really hard one, because a lot of triggers that people think are triggers for migraines, we're finding out might not be triggers, or they are triggers, but people might crave them, and they actually are part of the, it's called the prodrome stage, which is actually just like the beginning stage. So it's kind of like, ooh, I'm craving it, but it just means I'm getting a migraine. Okay. So does that kind of make sense to you? What it basically means is like... Okay, so
it's not really a trigger. It's more of a...
So sometimes...
It's like the first phase feeling. Yeah,
so sometimes people think that chocolate is a trigger, but what really happens is they're craving chocolate because they're getting a migraine.
Because of some other trigger.
Right.
That they might not even realize
is there, basically. So sometimes they're like, ooh, I'm craving this, which is salty. But really what it is my body wants this salty thing because it needs the salt.
Because of this because other, of the, this because other it's, trigger.
Yeah. Yep. So, but that doesn't also mean that it's not a trigger. The big problem is it's what's a trigger for me might not be a trigger for you. And right. that's for migraines, anxiety, depression, anything. So that's why I'm covering things that are common. Don't take these as, you know, the God honest. So
and remember that if you have something that you're convinced is a trigger, that's not on that list at all. That could just be a unique trigger to you.
Yeah.
Because
it might honestly be.
Because just remember that all triggers are triggered by your brain. And yeah. Everybody's brain works in such a different way that...
Exactly. Exactly. And if somebody says it is not, it very well could be.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of triggers that probably most people have.
I've had people look at me with, like, I have three heads. And I promise you, and I'm like, no, you guys, I swear, and I will hold firm that, you know, whether it's a trigger or something else that I've said, I hold firm to what I believe because it's my body and I know my body, you know, it just is. And because everybody's different, it just is. So we have stress. Changes in sleep patterns, so if you get too much, too little, missing meals, changes in routine, hormonal changes, caffeine. And that, so if you, caffeine can help or hurt. That's a very, very tricky one. And we did talk about that. And the thing is if you drink coffee or tea, that is better than if you drink soda. And I do have a soda with me. But the thing is, if you drink soda, the whole, you know, artificial sweetener thing. Yeah, artificial sweetener. It tastes real good, but it's bad for you. Alcoholic drinks. That's the naughty, naughty again, of course. Changes the weather, like I said. Certain foods, and I'm not going to go into it, but those with nitrates, tyramine, I think that's... Is that the turkey one? I don't remember. Aspartame, again, artificial sweetener. Yep. Yeah. Dehydration. Again, we got to get that, all the good liquids in us, especially now that we're going to get in the warmer weather. Hoorah for warmer weather. The light, bright light. So if you're getting sensitivity to light, don't be ashamed to wear sunglasses indoors, guys. You know? Be that trendsetter. And strong smells like perfumes and flowery and grossness, you know. Oh, yeah. Love those strong smells. Medicine overuse. So if you're taking too much Excedrin or ibuprofen and all that. Computer use. And apparently exercise or sex can give you some Frankie really liked that. So he said, Daddy, when mom says, no, I have a headache, she really means it. So yeah, just know your triggers. I mean, the big thing is you could say, oh my gosh, I have like 3 or 4 medical conditions, whether or not they're diagnosed or not. How can I really know all of my triggers? Again, journal, 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 journal. And you can keep a food blog if that helps, because then you can say, okay, on these days, I ate this and I got a headache, I got anxiety, I got this, whatever. There's all these different things that you can do. So, I mean, until you're really sure, just write it down and all that good stuff. I mean, I know it gets really tedious, because I know sometimes I fall behind on writing things down and journaling and everything like that. It really does. It gets exhausting. Mm-hmm. But
well, and I would wonder too if there would be, and if anybody knows about this, stigmas@openwounds@gmail.com. Thank you. I would be curious if there was an app that helped assist with this.
I know that there's at least different ones that you can track your food. So you might have to get 2 different.
Well, but the ideal would be like if you tracked your food in one app, in the same app as you tracked your migraines, and then it would tell you, like, it would just create like a chart that said, you know, 50% of the time when you eat this meal, you get a migraine the next day. I don't know if that exists in. And maybe that would just be like, maybe this is something that is so, I don't know, so unknown and stuff that maybe sure. The pattern and wouldn't be there.
It's so hard to, I don't know.
Because it's really hard because there's not so many things can cause a migraine.
Right.
Yeah, that I don't even know if it would be effective to track what you eat in conjunction with.
Right. Because I do know, I will tell you the migraine tracker that I use, I do not have it doesn't do food, but I use Migraine Buddy. And because I can say like, okay, it may have been caused by storm or chiropractor or this, or, you know, 80%, above 80% humidity or this. It just doesn't do food.
So what does it do? It asks you if you had a migraine that day and then tell you why you think you might have had a migraine?
I have to put whether or not, like, I just mark off if I had a migraine. I don't put if I didn't, but it does say, I can look back in the month and say that I had a migraine.
Okay.
Because that was really nice, because when I went in to see my neurologist last week, she said she wanted to know how many migraines I had. So it was really nice. I could count and say, okay, I had this many this month, this many this month.
Okay, but does it do anything beyond?
Yeah, it gives you, it actually brought up this month. It said, so how, here's your migraine report. And then, and it does actually say you had this many due to this. And you can actually put in what medications you took too. And then it says, so do you know why it came? And it was like, you can say, oh, it's because of my period. It's because of a storm, very variable weather. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so if it's like maybe gonna storm, gonna snow, gonna do this, you know, maybe it's like the weather can't make up its mind. Or the other day it was raining, and so I put because it was raining. It also asks me if I'm on my period too, because sometimes migraines are caused because of period. I don't think that's what mine are caused by. I figured out, which was nice. This helped me figure out that's not why mine are caused. Mm-hmm. But the only thing is that this one does not track my food. But you might be able to kind of, it does have a notes section, so you could write down what you eat. The other thing is I did download my own food tracking app. I haven't used it yet because I'm lazy. But you know, if you wanted to do your own food tracking app and as well as that.
Yeah, but it would just be better if it was all under one roof, and then it gave you like actionable information. Well, and I could
download this does have the option for a paid one. I don't know if it would be under the paid app. I just don't like to pay for apps unless I have to. I really do like this one though. But yeah, there's, and of course this is only if you have migraines, obviously. But I very much like this because I'm able to really keep track of my different things, and this will be really great.
And it seems like they do a very good job of allowing you to track things on apps. The one thing I have not seen a lot of with apps is where they take what you track and then, you know, like look at that information and, well, not so much see a report, but give you actionable things that they think might help you. You know, and I think that
honestly, this has been the best so far for me.
Right, but it sounds like all it's doing is tracking it. It's not really.
Well, it's I mean, it gave me a report this morning, and it's.
But what does the report show? Just that you had migraine from your period on 7 days, and a migraine like.
Or in, and then you know this many have helped me. Like I took Excedrin with this many, and it helped because of this. I wore dark glasses with this many, and it seemed to help this many times.
Well, so it sounds like it's kind.
Yeah, these guys were actually, there was a, I don't think I told our listeners, but there was the Migraine World Summit, I believe it was called, in March. Uh-huh. And the creators of this were on there. And so it was a pretty good. I mean, and I was using it beforehand, and I was like, oh my gosh, these are the guys.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and I like it because the idea of it, I just think that technology like that can go a lot further.
Yeah.
By just being able to give you like actionable advice of things to try.
I honestly don't know if I've fully even delved into all of it even. I mean, and it gives me 2 days worth of predictions in terms of the world or the pressure report of weather. Mm-hmm. And it would give me more if I paid for it. But again, I don't want to pay for it if I don't really need to. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty picky in terms of my apps. I'm like, well, this is close to what I want. And this is so.
That's my experience with apps is you can always get close to what you want, but you can never get what you want unless you write it yourself.
Yeah. So. I'm pretty picky with a lot of things I think really the biggest thing with your triggers is you need to really keep track of things, whether it's with an app, with a journal, with however the easiest way is for you. And like me, I do like with apps because I haven't written in my journal for a while, unfortunately. I do like my journal. I need to get it out again. But when I write in my journal, all of a sudden I realize that my hand is about to go numb because I'm like, oh man, I'm writing too much, which is a good thing that I write a lot. But I also feel like I write too much. But it's a good way. Whatever works for you. And then eventually you're going to just realize it secondhand to know, oh, I'm going to go to a busy place. Either I need to grab somebody to go with me, or I need to grab 2 anxiety pills or some stress away to put on me or something, because I know that I'm going to need to step out or, you know, whatever. And you're going to know that, oh, this is a trigger. And this is going to be a big deal. Or you're going to start asking, how big of a place is this? Am I going to be able to step out and get a breather? Stuff like that. You're going to realize what is a trigger for you. And you're going to be like, I can go or I cannot go because this is going to not be a thing. And you're going to realize, you're going to say, okay, this is a trigger and I choose to go, or maybe I choose not to take place with it. Mm-hmm. Because some of these things, maybe it's a trigger and it's something that you can overcome and you choose to, or you just don't want to, too. So,
yeah, I agree. And I think the biggest thing with, like, my biggest takeaway from triggers is just that I am a huge, huge proponent of the idea of that the number one thing, and we've talked about this on previous episodes, that the number one thing that this, even this podcast has done to for you is that it has forced you to look at your situation and face it head on. And like I think I've said probably multiple times in this podcast, I don't think most people face these kind of things. They ignore them or they try to push them away to pretend like they're not there. And I think the fundamental beginning of it is understanding your triggers, and then you can take those triggers and you can look at solutions to overcoming these things, whatever they are that you struggle with.
And however you want to overcome them.
Yeah. And it's completely in your hands. There's no right answer to how to overcome them and stuff like that. That's something you got to find within yourself. I think it's great idea to look at what other people are doing and maybe borrow from those ideas. But in the end, it comes from you. And I think that, so I think understanding triggers is the foundation to getting over a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's really all I got for it is just that, you know, this is the foundation of it. To start with figuring out what your triggers are, and then you can, you can face those things. And it's uncomfortable. It's not, but your brain is not going to by default want to do this.
It's not an overnight thing.
It's going to fight it. It's going to fight it. But
oh my gosh, yeah. Because your brain has been trained for how long? I mean, I don't know how long you've all been dealing with whatever you've been dealing with. So you're going to have to keep training it over and over. So the biggest thing is it's okay to ask for help, ask a friend, ask a family member. You know, if you're going to a crowded place, if you're doing whatever, if you're in a deep depression hole, ask a friend. Say, you know, I'm struggling with whatever. Can you help me with this? Can you help me with this depression today? Can you go with me to this crowded place? Whatever. Can you help me? It is okay to ask for help. It is always okay to ask for help. So that is one of the biggest things. So, and then in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about boundaries, because I think that that's a big one that goes along with this. Because with triggers, you're going to want to start putting up some boundaries, because now that you know some of your triggers, you need to start understanding what kind of boundaries do I want to start putting up? Because now you're like, okay, so now I know that this triggers me. So now what do I want to, now I don't want to go here, or now I don't want this person to come over at this time. So I need to put up this boundary. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that in 2 weeks. And I'm pretty excited about that, because
that's a good follow-up episode to this episode.
I know. I'm a pretty good planner, right?
In my opinion, now this boundaries is the phase two, because now you know the triggers. Now what boundaries do you have to put in? Well,
exactly. And that one is also a very hard one. I mean, I just recently started that, and I'm still having troubles with it. But let me tell you, when you get to like really start doing boundaries, when you do one of your first boundaries and somebody acknowledges you for that, you're like, oh my gosh, that feels just liberating. It feels really good. So when you first start doing some of this stuff, I want you to know that it rewards you.
Yeah, but it can also blow up in your face too, because there's going to be a person that they're not going to understand why you need that boundary, and they're going to have a real problem with that boundary.
But it doesn't necessarily blow up in your face. It just might hurt a little bit.
Yeah,
it doesn't. So it's just, you have to be patient again. Yeah. But I have a question for you. Have any of you guys rated us yet? Because I don't think we have enough ratings out there. And I really hope that your rating is a 5. But if it's not, I want to know how we can do better for you.
Yeah. And it's a good thing, because I have a Apple Podcast hater out there. And I don't think he's given a rating to this podcast, but
ooh,
the same guy gives me a negative rating on every podcast I'm on.
And I don't know why. Yeah. And we want to know why we're not doing a good job if we're not doing a good job. So give us an email at stigmasandopenwounds@gmail.com. And in the meantime, if you would like more content, you can find us at Instagram and Facebook. And in 2 weeks, like I said, we're going to have a new episode about boundaries. Eric, do you have anything more to add?
I do.
Yeah.
I want to know if there's anything else new and exciting coming up in the near future.
Oh, such as our amazing trip to Colombia?
No. Well, anything directly related to this podcast? Is there something new in the works coming in the future? Oh, my goodness.
Are you talking about our book review podcast?
Correct.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. So I don't know how soon it's going to come out. I'm hoping sooner than later. I'm working on finishing a book, but we're going to have a book review podcast, everyone. It's going to be called SAOW Book Reviews. No, that's not what it's called.
It's called, I've got it. It's SAO Book Sounds Book Reviews. Yes. And it's going to be, so now I'm going to set the preface for this because
as you can tell,
Tracy has no idea what she's talking
about.
No,
I'm losing my mind. I'm just having a day now. My brain is gone.
So one of the biggest things that I think for both me and Tracy that have helped us grow in our lives is just the amount that we read. And that's just opened our eyes up to the world in very different ways and things like that. So while a book review doesn't seem like it really fits into the theme of this podcast, I do think it is something that reading is something anybody can do to grow. And I think growing is an important thing that not enough people do in this world. So basically the idea is behind is when me or Tracy finishes a book, we're going to get on and we're going to do a short podcast just to talk about the book. Now, understand that me and Tracy read infinitely different books. They're nothing. So half of these podcasts, many of you will just be like, I have zero interest in this because of the book, but I read a lot of nonfiction, business, entrepreneurial, marketing type stuff like that. And Tracy's basically all fiction.
I read some women's fiction literature. They generally have a strong female lead. Occasionally, I'll read a nonfiction book here and there when I can squeeze it in.
But whenever either one of us finishes a book, we're just going to do a quick review about it. It's going to be on a different podcast feed, so it's not going to fill this feed up. But if you're interested in that, I highly recommend it. You'll probably find at least something you want to read. We just both read totally out of the wheelhouse of anything you would read. But I think it'll be fun, and I'm very excited for
it
to
happen.
Get there.
Very legitimately, Eric came home this past weekend and I said, I'm going to do a book review podcast. And he said, no kidding, because I was thinking the same thing. So then we just put it together and yeah.
So that'll be coming. We'll announce when it's all ready to go. Hopefully sooner than later. I know my next book I'm about to finish up, so that could be the first episode.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through my next book. So, I'm hoping I'll finish it before we go to
But Columbia. What Tracy doesn't tell you, she's only halfway through it, but she does have days where she reads 220 pages in one day. So she could be done with the book tomorrow, depending on how the day goes. So I am not that aggressive. I read like two chapters at most in a day.
I mean, when I did that, you were gone. So I don't know.
And I'll be gone all day today, too. So you might be just do it today. So.
I don't even know what. No, I mean, you are out of town.
I know. I'm just kidding.
So, I mean, but that's not such a bad thing.
No,
I'm making excuses for reading a book. I don't even know why I'm making excuses for reading a book. It's a good thing.
Yeah, just keep doing it.
No, I'm excited for bringing you guys books. I'm just very excited to bring you guys books. I really am. So,
and with the launch of this, if anybody out there has a book that, God, you like, this book is awesome and everybody should read it, send it to us at stigmasandopenwounds@gmail.com.
Yes.
And we'll check it out. Maybe one of us will read it and put it on the review. Or heck, if you're just so in love with the book, you want to come into, you want to do a podcast and review the book, I think we could probably accommodate that.
Yeah, we might be able to.
So,
I mean, if it's really out of our wheelhouse, we'll see. But no, actually, we might be.
No, I think I'm willing to hear any book, even if I don't think I like it.
Actually, I am too. I'm pretty open. I mean, legitimately, I would say a couple of years ago, I was hardly reading, and then all of a sudden, I picked up a book again, and now I'm reading 220 pages in a day. So,
yeah.
It's weird. It's weird what reading can do to you. Sometimes you're not a reader and then you pick up the right book and you're a reader again. Mm-hmm. So, it's strange. It's a very strange beast. So yeah.
All right, with that.
I was just about to say
really long podcast episode that just went off in a million different directions. So.
Yeah. Sometimes it's okay.
It is.
Yeah, you can tell we're getting the fresh air in the house and our brains are clearing out again, I guess. Mm-hmm. So with that, again, I'm Tracy.
And I'm Eric.
Thanks, you guys.
Hey entrepreneurs and website owners, if you're ready to take your online presence to the next level, you need a reliable web host. And that's where HostGator comes in. HostGator is your one-stop solution for easy, affordable, and powerful web hosting. Whether you're launching a blog, an online store, or anything in between, HostGator's got you covered. Don't miss out on creating the website you've always wanted. Visit stigmasandopenwounds.com/HostGator today and let your online journey begin.